You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Time for a quick take. Luka Doncic's streak of 7 straight triple-doubles was snapped last night when he exited the Mavs' win over the Warriors early due to left hamstring soreness. Brian Windhorst back here with us. Windy, what's the latest on Luka?
Yeah, well, the Mavericks haven't released an injury report yet for their game tonight at Oklahoma City. Jason Kidd said last night he wasn't even sure if Luka was going to travel for that game. So we'll see how he feels today and if he can warm up before. I will point out that the next game that the Mavericks have is not until Sunday. So, you know, I know that Luka doesn't like to miss games. This is an important game. They're fighting for seeding. They're on a winning streak right now. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're very cautious with him, especially with 2 off days coming after this.
Absolutely. All right, we'll keep it rolling in the NBA. Some action last night. Denver beat the Miami Heat again, handing last year's NBA Finals foe a 12th loss in the last 13 games against the Nuggets. Michael Porter Jr. scored a game-high 25 points on 16 shots, adding 7 rebounds. The Celtics have the NBA's best record and also the shortest odds to win the NBA title, despite losing to the defending champion Nuggets in both head-to-head matchups this season. Interesting. Okay, Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Do you think the C's should really be the favorites?
Well, you're going to make them the favorite from a betting perspective because the Eastern Conference is easier than the West.
Okay.
So there is less likelihood that the Knicks of Philadelphia, Milwaukee getting killed every night defensively, that they're going to lose. Denver may not have home field.
What about the Heat, the one team that actually could beat the Celtics?
That could. Yeah, but we don't know how that matchup will work. In the NBA, in the West, the Heat, the Nuggets may not have home court nor the rounds. That's number one. They haven't gotten that top seed yet of those. Wendy said at the top of the program today, they're in good shape to get it. I would favor them, but if they don't have it yet, Boston does. And there's, you know, Clippers are dangerous. You know, there's a couple of teams there. You know, I would be worried about the Thunder got a lot of talent. So I would be a little concerned from that perspective. So I understand why they made the Celtics the favorite, but if it's Christopher Russo's money, and I had to make a play right now for a team to win it, I'm taking Denver. I love you can tell they have risen to the occasion in big spots. They've beaten the Celtics twice. They beat the Lakers in L.A. when LeBron had the 40,000-point game. I saw them play the Warriors about 2 Saturdays ago in Golden State. They did a tremendous job in the fourth quarter. They beat Miami last night in Miami, matchup, of course, last year in the NBA. I love this team. Now, they're not a great historical team. They got 2 great players. Murray's great. How he hasn't made an all-star team is ridiculous. And we know Jokic might be, at the end of the day, the greatest center in the history of the NBA. And that's saying a lot. He might be at the end of his career. He's that good. He's better than Shaq. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay,
he's better than Shaq.
Don't start with
Shaq. Oh, he is. And I'm not just Shaq. I mean, he's better than Malone, Olajuwon. Oh, he does everything.
Jesus.
He passes. He dribbles.
We
he
doesn't even have to dominate. Go there.
He is great. Jokic is great.
Can we just deal with
So as a result of that,
Windy,
I would take
you
the Nuggets.
You want to respond to that greatest of all time?
I'm still recovering from that because Mad Dog, this is a guy who's a big defender of the old and gray and in the grave guys. So you saying that is, I mean,
significant.
I think the thing about Jokic that is so remarkable is that he's a little bit impervious. I think he's going to be impervious to aging. The guy doesn't, nothing in his game is based on athleticism at all. And so going forward, I could see this guy. The only thing that I think is going to prevent him from playing and being a championship contender till he's 40 is that he doesn't want to do it. I don't know if this is something he wants to do with an undying desire. I think he loves being at home in Serbia. He has other interests. But I want to talk about his phone for a second because his phone has played a big role in this season. I know that sounds crazy. And the last time you saw Jokic's phone was probably at the end of last season's finals when he picked up his phone after game 5 and looked at how many text messages and cursed and slammed it down when he saw how many he had to look at. But after the All-Star game, He sent a text message to his teammates. Now, I want to remind you that the Nuggets had lost the last three games going into the break. They looked kind of flat. They were looking like a team on a championship hangover. I think they had slid to third or even fourth maybe in the Western Conference. And Jokic sent a text message, which I don't think he normally does. I'm not on the Nuggets text message chain. I don't see Jokic as being too active in there. I'm talking about Love is Blind, okay? I think he probably picks his spots. And I think whatever he put in that text message, you want to talk about leadership? He said to the, and we know about it, not because he said it, but because his teammates brought it up to the media. And I think they regretted it right away because people started asking about it and then they wouldn't talk more about it. Since that text message, which he basically said, gentlemen, it's time to start acting like champions. They're 10-1. They're number 2 in offense, number 7 in defense. They have been a killer team since that happened. They have the easiest schedule. They have the third easiest schedule left in the whole league. So when I look at them, they're in first place this morning for the first time. When I say first place, I mean in the West, Mad Dog. The Celtics are going to have the number 1 overall seed right. Unless they have some sort of collapse. They've got a pretty good cushion. But the number 1 seed in the West means a lot because you got to go through Denver, and they're killer at home. But they're in first place now for the first time since November, okay? They have the third easiest schedule of all teams in the NBA and of all those top teams in the West coming down. They have 3 games left with the Wolves where they will not have Karl Towns, okay? Yep. So they have an opportunity to totally stranglehold that situation. The Clippers are 7-7 in their last 14 games. They've got their own issues to talk about. And while I think the Thunder are a potent team, they have a much more difficult schedule coming out. I think they've got like the 6th or 7th toughest schedule. Denver is highly favored. So you're going to have them, if they don't mess around, with the number 1 seed in the West. I like it. The only thing that you're going to convince me that you could say Boston has an edge is that home court. Denver is only a couple games over 500 on the road, but that kind of is the team that was pre-Jokic text message, let's get serious. And also, they weren't untouchable on the road in the conference finals and finals last year. And my point is that they can be great on the road. If the only thing you're looking at with this Denver team is to say, well, this is what their issue is. If they have an injury to one of their front line, their reserves are suspect. They're young and unproven. And, you know, Murray has shown he has injury prone. They are a little susceptible on depth, and their road record isn't as good. The Celtics have been awesome at home, but they lost to the Nuggets. So I love Denver as the favorite, and I think they've earned that.
That the depth is the one argument I think that you could make for the Celtics. And I think, obviously, with Cat out, the West gets a lot easier for the Nuggets. I think I would definitely go with the Nuggets over them, over anybody, honestly, including the Celtics, even though they appear to have an easier path. Because the one issue that Wendy brought up that is injuries and depth. Frankly, that's everybody on the West is injuries. We saw it with if you lose Kawhi or if you lose PG, it's going to change the way that things look for the Clippers. But another thing you brought up earlier was the leadership of Jokic. And that jumped out to me. When you're watching those games, and that's a juxtaposition between Jokic and I think Jason Tatum as the two best players on their teams, is Jokic. It's not just the text message leadership. He seems to have that maturity, control of the game thing that the greats have that – that's the one thing, is as talented as Jason Tatum is, although he's had huge postseason moments, I saw Jokic last night telling the team to calm down in certain spots. Like, it doesn't feel that Jason Tatum has that next step in ability that Jokic seems to have. And I would say, when I look at Jokic, I see, sorry to make the football comparison, but I see Patrick Mahomes. And when I look at the Celtics, I see the 49ers. Whereas it's kind of a really well-rounded, kind of strength in numbers team. Whereas on the other sideline, they got that dude. And I'm sure you agree because you made him the greatest center of all time just a couple seconds ago.
I
do think that obviously everyone has weaknesses, but it's hard for me to imagine, particularly given the history of the NBA, the best team wins the championship. And I know the Celtics' record is better, but no one thinks that the Celtics are better than the Nuggets. And we saw when the Nuggets played them, it's not only they beat them, they seem to have control over that game. And they have injury issues, too. Things change if they lose Porzingis, who is always having issues.
Well, two things quickly before I run. Remember, the Celtics have scars. 2-1 lead, Golden State lost. Lost to Miami, game seven at home. Denver doesn't have any scores. Celtics do. Let me see them overcome that. That's not going to be easy to overcome that. And number two, I talk to Kevin Lockery all the time on the air. Now, you're going to laugh. Who's Kevin Lockery? Coach Julius, Coach Jordan, played in the NBA for years, played against them all. He told me, I'm telling you right now, Chris, I played against Kareem, Wilt, Russell, Jokic, best center he's ever seen. That's all you need to know.
Wendy, we got to go to Bump. One word answer. Which team most likely to get in the way of Nuggets Celtics?
Probably Clippers, but they got to start playing better.
And we got Women's History Month. That's a little J-Lo beat in the background, her new album, in case you didn't know, Mad Dog. In honor of Women's History Month, here's today's trivia question. In 2023, Reese Nelson became the youngest athlete to medal at the X Games. How old was she? You want to take a shot at it?
14.
We'll see after the break. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's Women's History Month trivia question. In 2023, Reese Nelson became the youngest athlete to medal at the X Games. How old was she? 10 years old. Oh,
wow.
Oh, my goodness. What grade is that? Is that fifth grade?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, fourth or fifth grade. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Opening day, National Women's Soccer League. That's Saturday. Kansas City Kern taking on Portland Thorns at 1 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Plus. Coverage begins at 12:30. Let's make some money. Where is he? Where is he? There's my guy. There he is. Which camera am I on? This one? Okay, cool. How are we doing, Joe? Good morning.
Doing
how are
very
you?
Very well, Molly. It's great to see you. I hope your vacation was great.
Thank you.
Your vacation was great. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah. I know you're excited about this.
I love
the bet. Quite the gambler.
Yes, it's fun.
All right. So let's get this party started. All right. We are going to start in the NFL here. So we've got huge news with Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. Joe, what's the play?
All right, Mad Dog, this is for you. You spent a lot of money on that vacation. We got to fill that bank account back up. Big payday here. Drake London, Falcon wide receiver, offensive player of the year next season, 75-1. Look at what Kirk Cousins did for Stephon Diggs when he arrived in Minnesota back in 2018. 54 additional targets. 38 additional receptions from 2017 to 2018. Cousins knows how to get the ball to his top guys. Now look at London last year. He had a pretty solid season. 69 receptions, 905 yards. That's with no quarterback. They had no quarterback in Atlanta. They're going to win a lot of games. They were very run heavy last year. Fourth in the NFL in rushing attempts per game. That number is going to change. London's going to get a lot of action, 75-1.
I like the creativity of the Betcher, but I don't like it because with Pitts there and Mooney and Robinson out of the backfield, he has spread it around too much. And so as a result, London, who is not just a Jefferson, will not shine above the other three. It's sort of an aggregate offense, not a superstar offense. Diggs and Jefferson are superstars, but I like the theory, Joe. I like the theory.
All right,
Molly, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this guy? He's turning down money. Bring back Stephen A.
Oh, all right. It's championship week. Let's talk some college hoops, Joe. Florida State faces North Carolina, ACC tournament. That's right after First Take here. What's the move here?
Seminoles plus the points. We'll take the 10.5. These two have met two times this season. UNC's beaten them both times, but they beat them by 8 and they beat them by 7. Okay, they haven't beaten them by double digits. In those two games, UNC shot 36 additional free throws. 36. Now, based on the way UNC plays, they're going to get more free throws than the opposition, but that's a monster number right there. Tar Heels are a little overvalued off that Saturday win over Duke. Beat them twice this season. Now everyone's talking about them. That's built into the line. Florida State wins by 10 yesterday against Virginia Tech. They shot 23% from deep. That number will be better here. We'll keep it inside the 10.5 dog.
That's an excellent listen, I like that one. I do think North Carolina playing for a one seed possibly. And obviously they want to be in a situation where they want to sort of win the ACC tournament, but they could be a little flat. 12:05 game coming off the Saturday game at Duke. Florida State a little momentum. I didn't realize the two scores prior. Joe's using his noodle. You can see why he's a professional. Wrong on London right here. I agree. One for one. One
right.
for two.
How about the Big East tournament? You know I got all eyes on this, baby. Joe, talk to me. St. John's facing Seton Hall. I think that's 4-5 seed this afternoon. Who do you like?
This might be the best one of the day. Dog, Rick Pitino, your boy. We're going to lay the 3.5. We're backing him here. We're taking St. John's. Go back to February 18th. St. John's blows a 19-point lead against this same Seton Hall team. Pitino destroys his team after the game. Everybody wonders what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. 5 straight wins by an average of 14 points per game. They beat Creighton in there. They have turned the corner completely. They have lost this Seton Hall team twice this season. This is a monster payback spot. We're laying the 3.5 with St. John's.
Remember, the 5-game winning streak, there's a lot of Georgetowns in there. There's a lot of Butlers in there, and there's a lot of DePauls in there. It's a little overrated. And one thing, Joe, you know better than anybody, Holloway and Seton Hall, they love to play the underdog. And they are the underdog in New York. They would love nothing better to knock Pitino into the offseason. I'm going to take the 3.5. I'll take Seton Hall on the money line. I'll take the Pirates at 2:30 against the Giants. Number four.
Finally, my UConn Huskies face Xavier at noon. Joe, I want to know what you have on UConn, and I want to know if you have UConn repeating as well.
Okay. So I'm going to start with this. Molly, I love you. You're my absolute favorite. You're fantastic at what you do. UConn's a beast. They're going to win this game. I just don't like them to win by 15.5. That's all. I don't like them to win. I would take the points here. Go back to when these two played each other at UConn late January. That spread was 11. It was a home game for UConn. Spread was 11. Now we're on a neutral site. Now neutral site situation. The spread's 15.5. I see value there. Xavier played last night. They beat Butler. They worked some of the rust off. UConn hasn't played since the weekend. Maybe we get a slow start from UConn here. Slow tempo team. Remember, Molly, you know, we talked last year. I had UConn winning it all.
Yeah.
Love your Huskies. Not against them in any way. Just don't think they win by 16 here, dog.
Yeah, I can understand that. But remember one thing, Joe. This is not a neutral court. This is at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of UConn fans there. And the one thing that would worry me about this game from everybody in the Big East, Hurley has not won a Big East tournament. You know, last year, they lost to Marquette in the second round. And they won a championship.
We won a championship.
I understand.
We can win a Big
but
East tournament.
They use that as motivation.
Relax.
Guys, you know what? We want to put a Big East banner in our building. I think they'd be very motivated these three games. Xavier coming off a big win in the afternoon, close game. I'll give up the 16.5, make you happy.
Okay.
I'll take the Huskies.
Joe, I know this isn't part of the script, but calling an audible, do you like UConn to win it all?
I think it's priced accurately right now, but I think playing them to get to the Final Four, that's a good price. They check all the boxes. You always want to look for teams that have a very good defense, and when you combine offensive and defensive efficiency, it's inside of 50, that combined number. That's the pedigree of a champion. UConn had that last year. UConn had it this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a deep run. They're a very good
team. What's your team you're high on?
Tennessee, Joe. They play good defense, and they got
Rick
a guy who can score. What's the plus on them to win it all? Do you know?
Rick Barnes in March, dog?
I know. He's due. What's the money line?
I'll dig it up for you. I don't have it in front of me right now. I will get that number for you.
Because
I think you get a pretty good price.
That's a good price, Joe, because that Connect is a great player, and they're due, and said it. They play good defense.
So what are you and Fat Rob putting on that?
I'll put a fortune on that.
Wow.
That's a five-figure one. That's a five-figure one.
Back to back. Back to back.
You and your
UConn.
Thanks,
Joe. Joe, we love you.
You're the best, Joe.
Don't forget to listen to Carlin versus Joe. That's at noon Eastern right after us on ESPN Radio. And don't miss ESPN Bet Live. That's 6 Eastern on ESPN2. Joe, thanks for the time. We know you got a lot of other shows to do. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Oh, it's time for a Mad Dog list. Mad Dog, you got top five challengers for the Chiefs right now?
This was a Stephen A. one, and
give it
Stephen
to
A. here, I'm going to
You know
it
what he would say to you? He'd say the delivery. He wants high energy.
Yeah, high energy, and it's fluid. He would also say that.
He would say
there
it's
you
fluid.
Go.
There you go.
All right, here we go now. Biggest challenges of the Chiefs for next year. Obviously, they're going for the three-peat. Little overrated because the Packers in 65, 66, 67 won three in a row. Let's not forget the historical significance of Lombardi. Right, Don? Number five.
Overrated.
I'm going to put San Francisco at number five. Now, you could put them higher. I understand that. But the Niners have already lost the Chiefs twice. And to get back to a Super Bowl after you lose one, as Pat Riley used to say about NBA finalists who lost, hardest thing to do in sports is to get back there again. And I think that holds a little bit for San Francisco. When you get that close, play an extra 6 weeks or 5 weeks, and then lose, and in the heartbreaking way that they did lose, boy, that takes a lot out of the franchise. So I'm only going to put them at number five. All right, number four, this is an easy one here because I'm going to obviously put the Browns at number four. Now, I could say Cincinnati. I could put them here if I wanted. I wanted to put an AFC North team in because that's the most competitive division in football. They have Watson for the whole year. Though they stunk up the joint defensively against Houston, they do have a good defense. Judy is very, very good. They almost beat the Chiefs in a playoff game there 3 or 4 years ago. The Browns are on the come. The Browns are a very dangerous team. Watson showed some things late before it got hurt. A big win in Baltimore. I'm going to put the Browns at number four. Good defense helps, too. Number three, this is the Ravens. Now, I can't put the Ravens any higher than that because I don't trust the quarterback in a big game. Say, I think Watson can win a big game. Purdy's been in a big game. I don't trust Lamar in a big game, but obviously they have come close to Kansas City. They're in the AFC Championship game, losing 17-10. They bring in, obviously, Derrick Henry. That team is a very, very competitive team. They're dangerous, well-coached. I'll put the Ravens, although they lost their poise in the championship game, so I blame that on Harbaugh, but I'll put them at number three. Number two in my list, this is going to be Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo came as close as you ever could come to beating the Chiefs twice. They should have beaten them in Kansas City, and if nothing else, they should have gotten the ball back before they had changed the rule in OT. And obviously, if Diggs catches a pass, if they play that last drive a little better, and then maybe if he kicks the field goal, they would have won. I'll put the Bills at number two. It's a good rivalry. They beat the Chiefs a lot in the regular season. Here is the wrinkle. Number one, hit it. I'm putting the Lions. The Lions last year should have beaten San Francisco. Campbell screwed up the two field goals. We all know about that. They beat the Chiefs, albeit no Kelsey. They beat the Chiefs last year in week one. The Lions, this is a dangerous, dangerous team. That division isn't that great. The NFC isn't that great. Goff's better than anybody thinks. They got weapons all over the place. They've added a couple of defensive players in free agency. I love the Lions. I love them. They should have won last year. And Detroit, Kansas City would have been a wonderful Super Bowl. I'm taking Detroit. The omission are the Eagles. I'm going to leave them out. That is a superb.
Okay, 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 okay. Are you judge, jury? Like, come on, get out of here. Mina? Yeah, hi. Welcome back.
Hi.
Can you give us your take on this? Because I was seeing some of your facial expressions. You looked a little perplexed.
Yeah. Chris, great to meet you. First time, yes, long Mina. Time. Huge fan. This is one of the worst lists I've ever seen. The most egregious choice that you made was putting the 49ers at five for no football reasons, unless I missed something. In fact, the point that you made was that they've lost to the Chiefs because they made it to the Super Bowl, and they're largely returning the exact same team that was so dominant during the regular season that they got to the Super Bowl in the first place. In fact, a team that's lost fewer free agents than some of the teams that you have above them. That makes no sense to me, except you only, I think, cited like the emotional impact of losing and playing in the Super Bowl, which I just can't ride with that. And then the other one that's really egregious, and I'll leave the rest for Dominique, the Browns. You didn't include the team that beat them in the postseason in Houston, which I think would have been an interesting one to throw in the top five. You can point out that they didn't have their starting quarterback, but the quarterback they did have played better than the starting quarterback that you just said you trust more than Lamar Jackson, even though he hasn't played like an above average quarterback in like 4 years. I don't even know. Dominique, you can pick up where I left off here.
When Watson was in the playoffs, he gave up a big lead to this Chiefs team. Yeah. And also the Eagles, you left off the list altogether, despite the fact that they also lost to the 49ers in the Super Bowl, which should put them in there. And you started off wrong at the beginning because I've been schooling you on history all day. It's unfortunate. The Packers won three championships in a row, but not three Super Bowls in a row.
Don't
they won two Super Bowls in a row.
You're telling me they wouldn't have beat the Bills in 65?
It doesn't matter. The point is no one's won three in a row, and you're trying to rewrite history. You're not right.
He loves
the Bills.
And
then putting the Lions at the top. Again, if the predicate for putting the Browns on is because you trust the quarterback, that's faulty logic. But then you're going to put the Lions at the top. So Jared Goff, you completely trust Jared Goff? You trust Jared Goff more than Josh Allen? You trust Jared Goff more than Lamar Jackson?
I like
you trust Jared Goff more than Brock Purdy, who played well in the Super Bowl?
I said the Lions beat the Chiefs last year.
Yeah, I forgot.
And they should have beaten San Francisco.
Where is Joe Burrow at?
Oh, okay, we like to give grades on this list.
That's a great list.
Okay, Mina, you're up first. What would you grade Mad Dog's A list?
I'm going to be generous because this is the first time we've met and give you a D plus.
Oh my God.
Not an F.
Wow.
That was kind of you.
Sorry.
You be careful here.
Oh, no, no. I'm just,
you be careful.
I like what you did. I'll give you a G.
A G.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there any? Yeah, that's good. We can go G.
F minus would be a little better than a G.
No, you didn't qualify F minus.
Hold on.
When she brought up the Texans, were you kind of like, hey, maybe I should have thrown them in there?
You know, I understand the Texans and Stroud's great. I got to see a little more than 1 year. I mean, to be fair about the Niners, they should have lost both games. They should have lost to Green Bay And they should have
put Green Bay on the list.
They should have lost to Detroit. They're outplayed in both games.
Is there anything you would like
in the playoffs
you would like to remix now that you've heard from Neek and Mina?
No.
You feel confident about this.
Absolutely.
Honey, you're really high on the Lions.
Lions should have won. They should have beat the Packers.
They should have. You're right. They should have. But you're really hanging on to the Bills. You really want to see Josh Allen get over the hump.
He's the best quarterback in the league.
You're making a lot of excuses.
I actually don't mind that. I don't mind you keeping them in.
You don't mind the
I mean, I don't mind the Bills either, but I just the conflicts. So they're going to have a hard time bouncing back from the emotional loss.
Yeah, I think it hurts. Yeah. They lost the Super Bowl.
Okay, fine.
You're not
fine,
into the Eagles.
Fine.
No, I'm not into the Eagles.
They're going to have a hard time bouncing back from emotional loss. These guys, emotional loss. These guys, multiple emotional losses, but they just going to bounce back, huh?
Well, remember about the Niners. They had two leads against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Basically the same team outside of McCaffrey and lost both times. That's a lot to overcome. And, tough losses, that's a lot to overcome.
Professionals.
A lot
resilience.
To overcome. Sooner or later, the Bills who beat him in a regular season are going to beat Mahomes in a playoff game.
Really?
Sooner
or
later.
You trust the coach to beat Andy Reid?
Love McDermott, but I like the quarterback.
Any parting shots or final takes that you have before I go to break?
I just feeling Stephen A's shoes is hard, and I think we've seen that illustrated today.
Man, so you nice. Hit me right. Hey, you want to be my friend?
When
you
we go,
hit me more there.
Oh, we go to commercial. I'll translate what that actually means because it was cutting.
It's fluid.
Harsh.
It's fluid.
It was good. It was a good list. It was a lot of fun. We got some more NFL to get into,
it's
guys.
It's garbage.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
I got a quick take for you, Mad Dog. Look alive. Heading into the ACC tournament, North Carolina, Duke, and Clemson locks to make the tourney. Will anybody else from the conference go dancing?
I remember Clemson lost by 21 points last night to BC, but they will get in. I think the winner of today's Wake Pitt game will get a bid. I think this is a very, very significant game. There's a couple big games in college basketball today, but I think the fourth team out of that ACC will come from Wake Pitt. They split in the regular season. Both beat Duke. Pitt beat Duke at Duke. Wake beat Duke at Wake. That's the famous game with the crowd storming, which the Blue Devils got all upset at. Mm-hmm. So I think the game today, it's a 1.5-point spread. Wake is favored. I think that game today, the winner will make it. So I think they get a fourth team. Keep an eye if you're a sports fan and you like the NCAA selection process. Yep. That game today is an interesting game.
Yep. I'm interested in UConn. All right, let's go back to the gridiron. The Los Angeles Chargers are moving on from wideout Mike Williams. The move saves the Chargers $20 million this year while incurring a dead money charge of $12.46 million. Williams had 309 receptions, 4,806 yards, 31 TDs of the Charger after they selected him with the number 7 pick in the 2017 draft. Mina Kimes, here's what I need you to tell me as I find my chair. Which team should pursue Mike Williams quick, fast, and in a hurry?
The New England Patriots have to do this because it becomes increasingly obvious they're going to draft a quarterback with that third overall pick. You brought in Jacoby as sort of the veteran caretaker quarterback. And right now, that wide receiver group, they brought back Kendrick Bourne. Juju Smith-Schuster is still on the roster. DeMario Douglas showed some stuff, but they're really missing a number one, as has been the case for a while. Mike Williams still is that guy when he's healthy, a true boundary X receiver who can win downfield, win with contested catches. And what we saw last year in Carolina, how potentially damaging it is for a rookie quarterback to not have a receiver like that. Because they're probably taking that quarterback at the top of the draft, they won't take, you know, like some Marvin Harrison Jr. or Rome Odunze or whatnot. So to me, given the fact that they have over $50 million in cap space near the top of the NFL, it makes sense more for them than some other teams to go out and pay Mike Williams, and then they can draft some rookies later.
Yeah, I like that move. I would say also the team that you named that we learned from last year, the Carolina Panthers, is another team. They still don't fully have the receiver help that they need if they're going to try to salvage the Bryce Young experience. But, I mean, obviously the Chiefs come up anytime there's a receiver that's available. I assume that Mike Williams told his agent to call the Chiefs first, and they get first right of refusal, but they might want a discount, which he may not be willing to give.
He's always hurt. So, you know, he's hurt a lot. He reminds me of Higgins. Reminds me of Higgins. He's tall. He can make a lot of those, as Mina said, those catches in traffic. I like Dallas. And I don't think he's a one. I think he's a two. I don't think, when I think of him, I don't think he's a primary number one target on a good team. But him and Lamb, I think that would be a tremendous, and that's the sort of move Jerry would like. Cowboys, I like Dallas. You guys make perfect sense. New England needs somebody. Kansas City, I can understand that. I like Dallas. I really do.
Well, moving outside of the realm of the teams who can pay him a lot of money, if we're talking about contenders, Chris, I'll add another one to the Chiefs and the Cowboys. I think your beloved Detroit Lions should take a long look at signing him, because that was a team that, as Chris said, was very close to making it to the Super Bowl last year, had an extremely prolific offense, but lacked a sort of receiver like Mike Evans. Amon-Ra St. Brown wins over the middle. Jameson Williams flashed some stuff in terms of winning downfield. He, to me, is more of that prototypical Z receiver. If Mike Williams is healthy, he, to me, would be the final piece that would put that offense over the top. But again, they might not have as much money as the likes of New England.
And the money would be interesting, because the thing about going to, well, they have Laporta, who can play well in the middle field also, but the thing about going to the Lions is St. Brown wants his money, too. And you can't go out here, and he's earned. You can't go out here and start signing receivers before you pay receivers. And so I know the soft part of running a team is not always fun to talk about, but we get into that with the Justin Fields and the Caleb Williams thing. But this situation is going to be real hard to get St. Brown, who's been their leading receiver, who's been their reliable guy, who hasn't been suspended, who's been healthy, who's been converting for them. Real hard to go pay Mike Williams a bunch of bucks while St. Brown is still sitting there.
Isn't Keegan Allen, isn't he a free agent too?
Keenan Allen is too.
So that's why San Diego, the Chargers, let him go. They can't probably keep both, correct?
No.
And they're going to sign Allen
he's
instead?
He's staying.
Oh, he's definitely staying?
I think they're going to hold on to Keenan Allen, who's on the team. I think he's going to be the one that they hold on to.
Right, okay. So they had to keep one. They had to let Williams go. Williams is good. Yeah. If he plays, he's very, very good.
The thing you said that I agreed with, though, is like, and maybe me and I disagree on this, is like his level of number one-ness. I don't consider Mike Williams coming off of ACL. Like, I wouldn't want that to be the focal point. I wouldn't want him to be my focal point in my offense. Like, he feels to me like a very, very good piece, but not like a true number one.
By the way, where's the Chargers in the mix? Interesting, right?
They haven't
Harbaugh's
done a lot,
there.
Right?
Yeah. Like, what do we think of this team?
Well, I mean, addressing the defense is the first thing, is figuring out how to play well with that and then helping the quarterback develop. So, I mean, as long as you have a quarterback that we trust, and I think we all really like Herbert, I think they're respectable. We'll see. I think that's one of the teams that's a big question mark, because we haven't seen what they look like.
Well, Eckler's gone. Williams is gone. I mean, you know, didn't they sign an offensive lineman? In a free agency? Maybe I read that wrong. I thought they signed an offensive.
Well, they brought in Gus Edwards, because the run game was awful last year. I view this as a roster in transition. There's just so much to be cleaned up. The defense was awful last year. This, to me, might be the transitional year, but I do think they'll contend sooner rather than later.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The NFL quarterback carousel continues to spin. However, the Bears continue to stand pat. Justin Fields still on Chicago's roster, but with the number one pick looming, it's uncertain if the Bears will stick with him or draft one of the top QB prospects. Mina, where should Fields land next?
I feel like there's only one destination left, to be honest, that makes sense to me, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes, it would mean a reunion with his offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, which not everyone loves, but right now, the Raiders' plan at quarterback is Aiden O'Connell, played last year, and Gardner Minshew, who, don't let the box score, the record fool you, did not play well for the Indianapolis Colts last year. Justin Fields, to me, should be an obvious target for them. I know we're going to throw out places where he could be a backup, and I understand that line of thinking, but I think he showed enough last season for a team to take a flyer on him and see what upside he has as a starter. And the Raiders, to me, are the only team left where that seems like a viable option.
I think it tells you that he's not that great based on the fact that they can't get rid of him. I think Seattle, because the new coach there, he did not say great things about Geno, when he took the job, said the quarterback thing was kind of open. They let Locke go, who signed with the Giants, so they need a backup. Fields could go there and possibly win in Seattle. I think the Seahawks, to me, would be an interesting run. Now, again, Fields is not great in fourth quarters. 73 QB rating in fourth quarters. He's 11 and 29 as the starter. I'd be a little worried about him if I wanted to make him my starter. But I would say Seahawks.
Yeah. So I assume you're talking about the passer rating, and it looks slightly different. But I think he, Mina, your point about the Raiders, I think, is the only place that he could start. But I'm not sure that he would have success there. I think Mad Dog said something that I also disagree with. I don't think the reason why he doesn't have a job is because he's not good. I think he doesn't have a job because people view him as a long-term commitment. So I think where he should go, I thought the Colts, then they went and got Flacco, because I thought the Colts would go there, and Shane Steichen is really good with these types of quarterbacks who have high-end athleticism, and they have he can back up Richardson. But since that's been filled, I got a little wild card, the Broncos. I think that Sean Payton is the same coach that tried to convince us all that Taysom Hill could play quarterback in football. Remember that? Remember that? He tried to sell us that Taysom Hill was a starting caliber quarterback. So here you go. This is Taysom Hill turned all the way up. Go to the Broncos and build around him.
Taysom Hill turned all the way up is great branding, but I don't think Sean Payton wants the experience of a quarterback who holds on to the ball for too long again. I just suspect he wants to move in a different direction. I think we're having two different debates here, which is what's best for Justin Fields versus what's best for an acquiring team. If we're a team were to acquire him as a backup, not pick up the fifth-year option, to Dominique's point, I think that's what's held a lot of teams back. A ton of teams should be in the alley. Like, the Eagles, to me, jump out as a great destination for him as a backup because of that dual-threat skill set. But if Justin Fields actually wants the opportunity to start, the Raiders are really the only option. And I think they should do it, too. If I was a Raiders fan, I would very much so want them to do this.
You're right, and I don't disagree with you from the Raiders' perspective. But from Justin Fields' perspective, you need to go somewhere where you can potentially have enough success that people will believe that you're a starting quarterback. I have a hard time believing that that situation is going to end with the Raiders balling out and Justin Fields at being elevated to where he was to where to solidify his draft or to prove his draft position. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Antonio Pierce is going to change everything and they'll be so much better. But there are other issues on that team. So maybe Justin Fields can put him on his back. But then it's the other thing that you mentioned off the top that you undercutted yourself immediately so you wouldn't allow us to. You want him back with Luke Getsy? That's you really want him back with Luke?
Listen, that would be the one ding I'd have on that. I was surprised when they hired Luke Getsy, to be honest. That makes it a little bit less. But, you know, it's not a horrible situation. You do get to play with Davante Adams, obviously, some young skill players, Jacoby Myers. I mean, it's a better skill group than you had in Chicago throughout most of your tenure there. So I don't think it's a worse situation than there.
Which ain't saying much, but I think to Mad Dog's point about the Seahawks is you see Geno is a guy who's done what I think Fields wants to do. It's like rough start to your career, bounce back to
and they got three good receivers. He got some weapons in Seattle. I could see that. I got destroyed today. Everybody outplayed me.
Nah,
he outplayed me. Mean it.
We're on the same team.
I will not sit here
back with me under the bus.
And let you slander yourself and beat yourself down.
You threw
Pick
me under
your
the
head
bus.
Up. You're a mad dog. You're an icon.
Same team.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.